All right, our scripture text this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Mark. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 3, and verse 3. And we're going to be focusing on the last two words of that verse. We've got two words this morning. Or rather, I should say that the Lord has two words for you and I this morning. Step forward. Now let's get the context of the scripture so that we can properly do it justice. We're going to begin reading in Mark chapter 3 and verse 1. And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him. Now, last week we looked at length at the doctrine of the Sabbath. And here we have the great physician healing a man. There would be a physical benefit for the man with the withered hand, but like all of our Lord's miracles, this one was performed for the purpose of the spiritual benefit of many. Even you and I, 2,000 years later, reading the very words of our Lord God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now I'm certain that the Lord Jesus desires to bring spiritual benefits to you this morning. And I pray that He does. And I pray that your heart is prepared to receive them. Therefore, take heed to Christ's command to step forward in faith. Now, I'm going to note a couple of other translations this morning, which is something that I don't normally do, but I'm going to do it this morning because we are so focused on the specific wording, the specific verbiage of our text. For those of you who adhere to the King James translation of the Bible, we preach here out of the New King James, but for those of you who adhere to the King James, we have "stand forth," which is really the same meaning. In Kenneth Wiest's translation, which is probably the best amplified translation, if you will, of the Greek text, we have "be arising in the midst of everybody around you." So he brings out the idea that the command to stand forward is a present imperative. Stand forward presently. Step forward. We have two applications this morning. The first, step forward privately. The second application we have that arises out of our text is this: step forward publicly. You'll hear those words so many times this morning that I pray that you remember the latter part of the third verse in Mark chapter 3. And as we stress our applications this morning, we're going to have a particular eye on the blessings of stepping forward and the consequences and results of not doing so. First, step forward privately. Now, we don't have it explained in so many words in our text, but I suppose that this man had to have a bit of faith that Jesus might be able to effect the healing. Or at the very least, he must have been at wit's end. Otherwise, he's not going to have partaken in something that would arouse the ire of the teachings of the teachers of Israel. This is a very sensitive thing. You know, he was liable to be thrown out of the synagogue in the same manner as happened to the man who was blind from birth and was healed by the Lord. And so the same application can be made spiritually. There ought to be, indeed there must be, a belief in the heart that Jesus can heal one's disease, one's sin disease, that the great physician can successfully effect a cure. And having the heart prepared, because such a one has been made receptive because their heart has hit rock bottom. Otherwise, there'd be no impetus to become a Christian now, would there? See, Christianity costs something. Therefore, count the cost. Christian discipleship is not an easy road, and not something to be taken lightly. Count the cost. The troubles that may arise out of making that commitment will be many. But the blessings of knowing from that time forward that Jesus Christ is walking by your side and standing there ready to carry you when you fall is so much greater. So much greater than any temporal cost that we might experience on this earth. As the Greek has it, step forward continually. The personal spiritual journey is an ongoing one. Private prayer cultivates both communion and friendship with the Savior. I'm going to offer to you this morning two tips for a more consistent prayer life. Sometimes it's hard for us to find the time or to get motivated to pray. The disciples had this problem, right? Remember, they say, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And then the Lord gave them what we know as the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father. "Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." This was the cry of David in the 55th Psalm. And Daniel also took up the banner, praying morning, noon, and night towards Jerusalem. Whatever decree might be made, whoever might be able to see him, and whatever the consequence might be in his case, it was an appointment in the den of lions. Not everybody has it so easy as you and I. We can stop on the street corner here on the corner of Cumberland Hill Road and Clinton Street and offer up a prayer at 12 o'clock noon, and we're not going to be arrested for it. But there are people all across the globe who need to go someplace where the authorities can't see them for fear that their head will be taken from their body. Tips for a more consistent prayer life. Time and place. Now it came to pass in those days, that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. This is the narrative speaking of Christ Jesus, our Lord. He went out to the mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. He not only had appointed times for prayer, but he had an appointed place for prayer. So how do we apply this? Set aside, dedicate a time of day for prayer. Perhaps before and after meals. Excuse me. Before bed, first thing in the morning, and a place to do it. In my bedroom, at my kitchen table, and do it faithfully and consistently. We all have bad habits, right? There are things that we're prone to do and we tend to do at the same time or in the same situation, over and over again. But here's a good one. Prayer. Regular Bible reading and study. All right, you come on Sunday morning. You come on Friday evening, you do very well. But your faith, the Christian faith, is a 24/7 faith. This is why I encourage you to go forth and read the Bible in a year. Why? To avoid being carried about with every wind of doctrine. When you're much in the Word, when you're daily in the Word, your thinking is going to be informed by what God says, not how you feel about a certain thing. Not where your emotion carries you. And not by the foolishness of somebody who would lead you astray so they can make a buck, or because they've been taught poorly themselves. Step forward privately. Step forward publicly. This was what was asked of the man with the withered hand in the context of our scripture. It is illustrative of those who would be identified with the work of Christ. This man who was healed of his paralysis on the Sabbath, having come to the Savior and had that healing effected, would forever be associated with Christ Jesus. That's a good association, right? Who do people associate you with? Do people associate you with Christ? You profess to be a Christian. What do others see? I'm going to read an extended passage, our subtext this morning, Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 8. You can turn there if you can fly there, or you can simply listen along. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth, that is, that if you step forward publicly, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You want to be saved? What do you got to do? Give money to the church? No. Speak in tongues? No. Do any other thing? Be baptized? No. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Believe, trust him, trust Christ only. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. You can't be truly righteous until Christ resides in your heart. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's only natural that what's in the heart goes through the mind and comes out of the mouth and is reflected by the action. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. You may be laughed at and scorned in this life. Don't be surprised if that happens to you. It happened to Jesus and the apostles and anyone who ever tried to follow him faithfully. And it's going to happen to you and I. But when you go before the throne of God, you will find there that it is a throne of grace for you. And as it's written in another place, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You will not be put to shame before the heavenly host. Rather, you will be exalted as one who is a believer in Christ Jesus. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. The Lord never runs out of grace. There is room at the cross for you. Whatever you've done, wherever you've been, maybe you've done some awful things. Maybe you've been mocking him. Maybe you stand there, you sit there, or you're listening on media even now, and you're saying, this is a bunch of hogwash. There's salvation even for you. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Step forward publicly. And here we have the first step. The gospel of your salvation, which is not only a private commitment, but also a public one. A public declaration as well. As we have it in the Greek, picking up on Weiss' translation, the present imperative command, step forward continually, Christian. It doesn't end. The requirement, the command to step forward doesn't end at salvation or at all until you take that final step into heaven. To be forever in the presence of Christ Jesus, who saved you. Baptism is a step on that road. We recently had a baptism here in the church. And Jesus Christ was exalted mightily before the angels in heaven and before men, the church, believers and unbelievers alike, when Dave and Susie stepped forward publicly and said, I belong to Christ Jesus. I'm here today. He's done so much for me, and I love him. And I want him to be glorified. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. Step forward. Step forward publicly. not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another as the day approaches. Do not neglect the public worship of the one who paid for your salvation with his priceless blood. Stand before the world and be counted among those who make public worship a priority. There's a story of a man who was both blind and deaf. You may have heard me tell this story before. True story of a man in London who lived in the 19th century, both completely blind and completely deaf. And yet, every Sunday morning, he made his way down to the Metropolitan Tabernacle, and he showed up to worship God. And one day, somebody asked him and said, "Hey, buddy, you can't see, you can't hear. What is in it for you? I mean, why do you go down there? You can't hear what the preacher's saying, and you can't see anybody who's next to you or around you. You can't communicate, really." And the man said, through his mode of communication, some method of, you know, touch or braille or something of that sort, he said, "You know why I go to church? You know why I go? So that my neighbors can see that I get up on Sunday morning and thank my God for all of the blessings that he's given me in my life. You know what? I don't have much. God's given me many crosses to bear. I struggle physically, I struggle emotionally and socially every day, frustrated, communicating, and all of these kinds of things. But you know what? I want that guy who lives next door to see that in spite of all these things, I go and I thank my God every week." What do your neighbors think of you? They may think very little of your Christianity, but you know what? They're going to think a whole lot less if you preach Christ and you stay home 5 Sundays out of 6. They're going to say, "Wow, that's, you know, yeah, they talk the talk, but do they really walk the walk," right? That's a visible sign that people are going to read. They may not read the epistle of 2 Corinthians, but they're going to read you, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Make public worship a priority. Step forward publicly. Do not learn the word of God only, but apply it in your daily business, which impacts or ought to impact the world for righteousness. Use your God-given talents for their intended purposes. He gave you many gifts, and the purposes are to glorify him. In conclusion this morning, if you are not stepping forward, you are sliding backwards. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, saith the scripture. But a good man will be satisfied from above. You cannot hide. You can't be incognito for long with one foot in Christianity and one foot out. You know why? The world is going to expose you as a fraud. Your neighbors will look at you and say, "That's a fraud. They talk the talk, they don't walk the walk." But you've got no place in the church either. Because the church knows too, yeah, they're praying for you. But you have no place amongst God's people in the spiritual sense, for you have not made Him your hiding place. You're in no man's land. There's God's army over here, and there's the army in opposition to God over here. If you're not in God's army, and you're not in the world's army, you're in the middle somewhere. You're in no man's land. You're going to be cut down in the crossfire. There's safety in the army of the Lord. There's safety in the armor that He provides. Will you take it up? So what will it be, friend? Will you resolve today and respond in obedience to the command of Jesus Christ? Step forward. Lord God, bless all of those in this assembly this morning and the remainder of our service and the remainder of our week. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.